Welcome to the Random Conversation Podcast, No Patterns. This is your host, yours truly, James Ross, and I am here with a great friend of mine, quasi-business partner on an event we ran many, many years back at my old coffee shop.
Absolutely.
Real estate broker, manager, you're doing everything over here, all right?
I love it.
And you got a really humble story, and you are kicking over buildings over here in off North Avenue in Lincoln Park. Can we hear a little bit about that?
I so appreciate that. I'm super excited to be here, my friend. Excited to be with you guys. My name is Melinda Jordan.
MJ the Closer.
That's
website.
Right. Affectionately called MJ the Closer. I am a broker associate with Jameson Sotheby's International Realty, Yeah, you know, this journey has been tremendous. I am not a Chicago native. However, I'm closely connected because I spent every summer as a kid hanging out on the West Side. And when I moved here just to pursue real estate investing as well as selling real estate, I moved to the South Side. So I'm super familiar with everything between Austin neighborhood, downtown, Rogers Park to Hyde Park. So I consider myself... I am the person transitioning into Chicago's best friend because I know what's great about Chicago in this new season.
Yeah. Speaking of that, so this city needs a lot of hope, right? And you know, and when I was looking at some of your advertisements, I've known you for years. Looking at some of your advertisements, I was like, you know what? I want to get your story out there because I could picture so many girls that look just like you and they look around in their environment and they're just being inundated by the media saying, you could only be like this. You could only do this. A politician's coming in every Sunday telling them this, that, and the other. You know, what is your key to success? What was the formula? So a little girl on the street corner playing double dutch and there's stuff just going around. And you know how the segregation of the West and the South sides.
Absolutely.
What is your key to hope there? What do you tell that girl?
So what I tell that girl, you know, myself, right? I am a native of Mississippi, so I'm not only Southern, I'm country.
Wow. And a little bit of twang there.
So on any given day, I might say something, and you're like, "What did she just say?" And I'm a thin black girl that spent most of my summers on the West Side of Chicago. And so what I would say to anyone, when it comes to hope, hope starts within. And within means don't allow the environment or people around you to define whether or not you belong in that space. You get to decide where you want to show up and how you want to show up. What we oftentimes lose is the ability to know what that's like, because the stimulus around us influences our perspective about ourselves and our environment. So when I would
Amen, sister, preach.
it's so true. Like when I would come here in the summer on the south side, on the west side of Chicago, think about it, I'm a skinny black girl from Mississippi who grew up on a farm, and I'm here in the city in the summer. I sound funny. I look funny.
But, and you're skinny too. Like the big girls can handle themselves, but like you could barely.
Yeah. And so I used to get, we would get teased a lot here.
Yeah.
But what my aunt that would take us in every summer would do that was different than what I was experiencing with the people around me, she had us in summer school and summer camp in Chicago. And so we were always learning. And so the stories, the experiences I would have from the trips that I would go on in the summertime gave me access to adults and people in spaces I could have never had access to previously. The books I would read would create spaces and expand my imagination in a way that I wanted to understand those things. So a simple example would be that I would read books that might depict Nina Simone.
Okay. There
or
you go.
Other parts of the world. Yeah. So as I grew up, I wanted to replay that music.
Mm-hmm.
So I love jazz now.
Mm-hmm.
I travel. I'm probably gone 10 to 12 times out a year. One of my life goals is to go to every habitable country in the world.
Wow.
And so I've been to these places, Asia, Europe, because it came out of the experiences I would have in the summer in Chicago. Chicago is the third largest city in the U.S. It's a global hub. Mm-hmm. We have some of the best theater district in the world, the best shopping in the world. Our economy doesn't rely on one stream of income. We have some great universities, great. We have the second largest concentration of Fortune 1000 companies right here. Ooh. This is a global hub. What Chicago needs to provide hope is for people who live here to know that this city is built on hope.
Yeah.
We have such a huge population of immigrants moving into Chicago because of our 77 neighborhoods. When you move to Chicago, unlike some other parts of the country, there's a home for you because there's so many authentic neighborhoods.
Yeah.
If you're Greek, there's Greek Town. Yeah. If you're Hispanic, there are a number of neighborhoods, and it doesn't mean all Hispanics got to live in one neighborhood. Mm. Are you Puerto Rican? Are you like what? Where are you from? If you're Jamaican and African, there are places.
Rogers Park. Devon Avenue, the best food in the city.
That's what makes this city so rich in hope. Yeah. It's just we then personally have to decide that I belong everywhere. But I get to choose how I show up in those spaces, which is one reason why I focused on real estate. Real estate, by far, has been the tool that has created wealth for the wealthiest people in the world, all the way back to history.
Yes. Before the stock market, before crypto, all this stuff, anything. Yep.
People are going to always have to have somewhere to live, somewhere to eat, somewhere to be hospitalized, somewhere to vacation. That will never change.
Never.
Never change. When you have two of the largest investors in real estate being the government and the church, which is what this country was founded on, why would you not participate in it in some capacity?
Yeah. Well, and you look at the community, all the redlining and just the stuff that's happened here.
Absolutely.
You understand why folk don't trust banks.
Yeah.
They don't trust, you know, certain people outside of the community. You understand why it's so insulated.
Absolutely.
You know, so like how do you get someone to step over to cross that bridge, even though, you know, going into that neighborhood might be a little different, but still, it's still got that old school Chicago where like, hey, if you ain't from here, don't come over here.
Right.
So how do you get that person to walk across the aisle and be friends with someone and step out of that comfort zone?
I say there are really two ways of doing that. One is once you realize that we can't exist without one another, because if God meant for us to exist on his own, he would have never created woman. Man would have been fine out in the world by himself.
Yeah.
The second part of it is there's absolutely no way one human being has the capacity to know everything. If you even just selfishly want to know more, you have to engage someone else. And that person who has that level of expertise could come from anywhere. So when you walk into a room that you may feel uncomfortable with, be okay with the responsibility of being the first in the room. Because you being the first in the room allows opportunities for others to come into the room and the space because they're experiencing you. So an example would be—
I like that, that's good stuff,
like,
I like
so
that.
So an example would be this. You and I are not the same, but we connected over faith. Mm-hmm. There are other points in our lives where there's a connection. If we spend time peeling back where the connecting points
there's
are,
more that we're connected there, with that we're not.
There's more that we're connected to.
We take all the jargon and all the crap out.
If you remove all of that,
yeah.
then you can get to a good place. When you speak with the most successful people in the world, their success is a product of their ecosystem
and
their network.
Exactly.
They didn't know one
their did. Network is their net worth.
Is,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's no self-made man out there. It's not
even a
myth. Wow. Exactly.
And so you baby step in. You may not be comfortable. Like I'm with Jameson Sotheby's International Realty. Sotheby's as a brand is historically known for luxury real estate around the world. We're the largest luxury brokerage in the world.
Largest
luxury brokerage in the world, over 80 countries, more than any other brokerage.
Well, that's a big statement. How long you been here?
Yeah, I transitioned from Coldwell Banker here about 2.5 years ago.
Okay. As I see you ever, you're hustling. I mean, you Google realtor, boom, your face is there. It's like you don't play games.
What's phenomenal is scary about that at the same time is there are 25,000 Sotheby's agents around the world. Less than 1% are black.
Less than 1%, and then probably a quarter of that are female.
Absolutely. Wow. So when you have those kind of numbers, if you're a little black girl from Mississippi who hung out on the west side, who lives in, on the south side now, that might come off as intimidating.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is, if Sotheby's was calling itself, it says it's Sotheby's International Realty. If you don't have enough of me at the table, you're not delivering on the promise of the brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but I can't hold you accountable if I'm not willing to step in and hold myself accountable. So my transition to Sotheby's was a product of other black people who want luxury real estate. Other black young girls who want to be in luxury real estate need to see one another.
Exactly.
And so being here allows me to roll my travels. Because remember I said earlier, my experience with the world was through what I read and what I heard. And so I travel the world because of that. The fact that I'm in real estate and I'm with a global brokerage enabled me to pull who I am into my business. So what I do for a living is not just my work, it's my mission. So when I get a young, like I oftentimes have black young girls who intern with me in the summer to see how this business works. What, you know, of course they come in and they're super excited about, oh, I'm gonna get to look at $1 million homes, investment properties.
Yeah.
But when you come in and intern under me, I give you a journal and rich dad, poor dad.
Yeah.
All day long. Because that was my start. The journals before the purpose of writing down your thoughts, because the devil will steal your dreams if you don't capture them.
Yeah.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad is the best basic entry to understanding the power of real estate. And you just start peeling it back. And you start saying, okay, I want to show up in this space. Maybe I'll buy a two flat, live in the basement, rent out the other two units. By the time you get to a year of that, you created equity in the property, but you also created cash flow. Now you are even more of a viable opportunity. There's even more of a viable opportunity for you to go on.
And now banks call you, regardless of your skin color, because banks care about green.
Absolutely.
If you don't have green, then they could pull that skin color stuff.
Now you're talking Dave Ramsey talk. Now it's the snowball effect.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to start the snowball.
Yeah.
You can't harvest a farm without planting seeds.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to plant the seeds. And sometimes they'll grow, sometimes they won't. But when you win, you win.
Yeah. It's just like sports. It's just like business. It's just like it's momentum.
Yeah.
It's hard to start it, but once it goes, you throw all the dice. You throw the whole flush on it. You know what I mean? Bad momentum is hard too. It's just like, you know, right now, speaking of that, right now we're in some rough economic times. And it's nothing like 08. No one's losing, like we're not having whole blocks losing their homes. But I know like during the holidays, it's a really prime weeks for someone to catch a special. Santa Claus comes around and you know, you jump on one of those two or three flats.
You get your gifts early.
So is there any tricks? Is there any little nuances that you can tell someone right now for the hope of this economy? Or not necessarily the economy, or just like, what do you do if you're someone that's renting it, you want to jump in on real estate over the next couple of weeks? Because I'm going to make sure this goes to a couple thousand people. Someone's going to see this.
So here's what I will tell you. Warren Buffett, I follow him greatly because he's a long-term investor. He thinks ahead.
And he thinks by pennies.
Right.
That guy goes to McDonald's every day, lives in the same house.
Still lives in the same house.
You would never know that guy's
a Cadillac.
You would never know he's the richest guy.
And what he would tell you is don't invest in anything you don't understand. And I wholeheartedly believe that. Become a student of what you think you're interested in. And if you're thinking about real estate, spend your time studying real estate. If you're thinking about buying within the next couple of months, don't get as distracted by what you hear in the media. Study what's happening with the economics and say, now that the economics reflect this, what's my game plan in this market? Because every market is a real estate market.
Yeah, every.
You need somewhere to live, don't change from this market to the next. Yeah. Your decision about where to live, how much you spend changes. Yeah. So once you understand the economics, what that means for your budget and your goals, then you're surrounding yourself with the right people to coach and guide and advise you on what strategy can you deploy in the next few months. So now you're looking at, all right, if interest rates are high and I've got to buy at a lower buying price, do I negotiate a contract with a seller where they buy down my rate? So if I buy down my rate, I can afford the same property, because the problem was the rate. The rate changed my payment. Mm-hmm. Did you live in your monthly payment? You don't live in the purchase price.
Yeah.
Once you do that and you've got your strategy in place, now you're going to identify the right property that meets that strategy. And that right property can come up at any time. It can come up the day before Christmas. It can come up tomorrow. It can come up in January. Either way, you've established a strategy that's conducive to the current climate of the market.
And if you're paying rent right now, you're paying a mortgage. If you're paying your rent, you have enough for a mortgage.
And in Chicago,
what is it?
$1,600
so,
if not higher.
So in the neighborhoods we're talking about, that's three mortgage payments.
That's a mortgage. That's absolutely a mortgage. And it's interesting you bring that up, because rents are actually up at a higher rate than sale prices. So your rent is up double digits. If you are appreciating on a property you bought, you're probably coming in a single digit format. If you're paying 15 to 20% more on rent that's already an average price of, say, $1,600 or $2,000, you're already up $200. $2,200 in a rent versus $2,200 in a mortgage that has the potential to give you equity as well as tax write-offs. You know, it's worth considering, is this the right opportunity for you? And you're just literally working with your team. And so by your team, your lender, your realtor, your attorney, your financial advisor and tax person, saying, here's what I want to do. What are the right options and scenarios for me to consider given the current economics and the current climate of the market?
So how do you, and I know you do workshops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we send people to do the workshops?
So I usually do workshops throughout the city at specific times with the local libraries.
Okay.
So I've got about four library partners specifically, two of which in Lincoln Park, one in Bronzeville, and then one in Little Italy off of Trot Taylor.
Okay.
I also do virtual workshops. So like if you go to mjthecloser.com, I usually will post there when I'm hosting another workshop. Okay. The interesting thing is, you came to set up today. I was just hosting a workshop. Annual tax sale, the county's annual tax sale for back taxes is actually going to take place next week. So I did a meetup to show people how to set a strategy for paying for back taxes in pursuit of properties later on.
Wow. Wow. And I imagine if you had maybe 100-something people doing that, you're going to empower them and they will eventually be a client, which is good for you, but it's good for them because now they're part of the equity game. Now their rent's going towards that mortgage and they're
Absolutely. Because in this game, there's so much information, but there's no context to the information of how it applies. You can go online and Google anything you want about real estate. You can watch HGTV and Bravo any day of the week, but you don't have the context from the experts who do it day in and day out to know really what's happening behind the scenes. So oftentimes as realtors, we're less selling you a property as much as we're advising you on wealth building. And so that's why it's important to have, when I mentioned your team, I didn't just say a realtor and a lender. I said your financial advisor, your attorney, your tax preparer, because this is about wealth. This isn't just about the transaction of a home.
Yeah.
It's how does this home contribute to my overall plans for my family and the generations that follow me.
And in those communities that we're trying to help out to, there's tons of actual money, but there's no generational wealth.
Because
if you're not educating the people on how to create that equity, it just doesn't go anywhere. So.
Yeah. It's like someone gives you a plant for a gift and you take it home, but you never water it and you wonder why it died. You never nurtured it. You never treated it. And it's the same here. And then what's so phenomenal about Chicago gets a bad rap for taxes. And yes, the state of Illinois has some of the highest property taxes in the country. But Chicago, given its size, remember, it's the third largest city in the U.S.
It's also the best place to make money, though.
Yeah. To L.A. and New York, it's a very entrepreneurial town.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of that, we are by default the most affordable big city, global city in the U.S. So we have a lot of foreign investors that come into Chicago. We have a lot of investors from L.A., from the West Coast and the East Coast, because the cost of entry in those markets are so much higher than what your acquisition costs would be here.
Yeah.
In addition to that, Chicago does a lot to give away, has a lot of grants and programs in these neighborhoods, like Austin neighborhood, Woodlawn neighborhood.
We need to talk about that off air, because I need help with that. Yeah.
There's so many opportunities through a number of programs throughout the city where they're really trying to help people to stay and not only stay in their homes, but invest in the communities that they love.
Yeah. Yeah. And you hear a lot of bad news. Like you don't see this on the news, but it's like when you go into the community centers, you go to these churches and different organizations, you hear about this, but it's like two people show up. So it's like, we got to start zooming it or like whatever, like to make it connect.
Connect. And you're so right. The city is so robust. It's tremendously hopeful. I think the city could do a better job of communicating the value they bring to those who live here. But I know they're so consumed with the day-to-day.
Well, the people they're prioritizing, they're over-communicating. It's the ones that they're not, it's, and that's where that.
And I'm a transit. I'm someone who's not from here, who has a different lens and perspective on the city, because I didn't grow up with the baggage growing up in the city.
Yeah.
You know,
so I think everything's corrupt. Every place I walk into, I'm like, boom, that's what's going on over there. Boom, that's what's going on. And that's my lens. I'm five generation Chicagoan. So it's like, how do you not?
For me, I don't have that lens.
Yeah, exactly.
For me,
it's
a global hub, extremely affordable, has a ton of opportunities for people to get into real estate here. And the city cares about you. It's just those experiences are real in Chicago and they overshadow all the good.
Yeah.
So that's why when we started, it was like, what would I say about hope? Hope has to start here. You've got to start spending time on getting to know your city well enough to know where the sun shines, not always where is bloom and doom.
Interesting. Not always where the contrast is at.
Absolutely.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Wow. What would you like to leave with? So back to that little girl that's sitting there looking at the skyline 30 blocks away. 40 blocks away, 80 blocks away from downtown. And she knows there's wealth. But what do you say to that girl?
I will leave you with this quote. And this is really the quote I live by. And it's one of Nelson Mandela's most famous quotes.
Ah.
And it goes, "May your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears."
Wow, that is deep. That is deep. MJ, the closer. What website, please?
MJTheCloser.com. But you can Google Melinda Jordan, and I promise you, baby, I'm going to show up on first page all the time.
You pump that money into Google, don't you?
Actually, it's all organic.
Yeah. Well, and that's even better, because if you're getting organic SEO, that means people know who you are and quick. Awesome. Thank you. I look forward to having you on once again.
I appreciate you
so much.
You.